Our semi-final lineup is complete. Real Madrid, the record champions, have beaten Manchester City, the defending champions, on penalties. What a dramatic night in European football. And they will play Bayern, who just about edged out Arsenal in an enthralling encounter in Munich. With me, Rob Daly, former Spurs captain Jenna Scalacci, and commentator John Bradley, as the Real Madrid players celebrate down at the away end. John, what a night for the 14-time winners.
The players are in the fans. They have gone into the away end. The celebrations will be long into the night. This is as resilient a performance as you could see from one of the great teams of this competition, but so often we see them win with flair and with charisma. Tonight, Carlo Ancelotti's side have dug as deep as perhaps they have ever had to in a game to come through on a penalty shootout. They scored early in the game, and from the 12th minute when Rodrigo scored, they've had to defend all the way through to the end of extra time. Now the celebrations, they're bouncing up and down in front of their 2,500 supporters in that away end. Antonio Rudiger is the toast of the night. Every single person associated with Real Madrid has given him the biggest hug ever. And at the moment, he's just walked off on his own, having scored the winning penalty. And I think he's just trying to take it all in because, I mean, we know he's a big character, big personality. He's always wants to be the leader, and you can't show any more character and personality than to go up to take that winning penalty as a central defender, not a natural penalty taker, and he's put it in off the inside of the post. A sensational achievement from Real Madrid to come through, and I don't think many people expected them to come through, particularly after the 3-3 last week, and a rear guard performance that is one for the ages.
It was a huge shift from all of the players, I think. Obviously, scoring at 12 minutes, you sometimes think, did they score too early? Because then they've set themselves up just to defend. And it's so, so hard. I've been in a situation, obviously not in a Champions League, but where you are defending for 90 minutes and on, and it is draining and your legs go, and then your mind's, you've got to keep strong. You start to make mistakes and you've got to try and focus. And I think defensively, they were fantastic. I don't even know how many corners Man City, they had to defend, but they did it. They defended the first phase, they defended the second phase and stood up Rodrigo and got the last pen.
There's a lovely embrace between Nacho and Antonio Rudiger right now. Antonio Rudiger's lost his shirt. It's somewhere in the middle of the Real Madrid fans. But fitting perhaps that those two should score a penalty in the shootout, because their performances at the heart of that Real Madrid defence, as Manchester City put wave after wave of pressure on them, created chances, but they were in the way of everything, those two. And Nacho coming back into the side tonight with Aurelien Tchouaméni, of course, suspended, taking the armband straight away, and a performance, you know, befitting of any of the great centre-halves down the years, as was Antonio Rudiger, to the extent that Manchester City withdrew Erling Haaland at full-time. And had Julian Alvarez and their players are loving every moment. And I think we should also highlight the performance of the Ukrainian goalkeeper, Andrei Lunin. He was third choice at the start of the season, and he's now the hero of their shootout victory against Manchester City. What a night for him, having, of course, been the backup to the backup at the start of the season, and now he's very much their main man. And yes, the celebrations will be long and hard. I don't imagine they'll get back to Madrid tonight. I think it might be tomorrow now.
they're having a brilliant time out there. Jude Bellingham. You could probably hear Vinicius Jr. trying to get Jude Bellingham's attention, because I think it's friends and family who are calling for him on the side of the pitch.
I think it's his brother, wasn't it?
Brother?
Job, yeah.
Back in his native England tonight, of course, Jude Bellingham. The Real Madrid players are still starting to filter down the tunnel. The away fans still jubilant. Extraordinary. We're going to get to this and the fact that it finished Bayern 1, Arsenal 0, 3-2 on aggregate. But let's remind ourselves, after it finished 3-3 in the first leg, how this one unfolded on Wednesday night.
Valverde slides it into the penalty area. Vinicius Jr. now across the face of goal. Oh, it's a brilliant save by Edison, but the rebound is turned home and Rodrigo has given Real Madrid the lead. That might be the shot that no one was expecting. Brilliantly kept out. Combination of Lunin and also Rodrigo, and then the ball comes off the crossbar and Bernardo Silva from a metre out, he's beneath the post, tries to knee the ball home, but he can't steer it goalbound. Grealish, who's looking to make something happen, he's beaten Danny Carvajal. He's shot hard and low. Lunin spilt it, but gets it at the second attempt, just before the onrushing Manchester City player can turn it home. Really good stop.
Normally, where you see Grealish there, he's quick to lay a pass off, but he's taken the responsibility.
And here comes Doku at pace, and he's across the face of goal. De Bruyne scores! It was only half cleared, and Kevin De Bruyne, with his first touch, control it, but his second slams it into the roof of the net. We're going to have it settled by penalty kicks. It finishes here, Manchester City 1, Real Madrid 1, 4-4 on aggregate. Former Real Madrid player, shaven-headed, a big sniff and take air into his lungs, now steps forward, and is saved by Lunin, away to his right. Kovacic is denied. Rudiger wants the responsibility. A blowout of breath from his cheeks, and he's put it in the bottom corner. Edison went the right way. He couldn't keep it out. And Manchester City, the holders are out. It's all about Real Madrid once again. And their love affair with the UEFA Champions League continues.
Yeah, they march on looking for title number 15. Which is absolutely crazy. Jen and John, let's try and go through the match, sort of blow by blow. The boost for City being that Edison and Walker and De Bruyne were back in the starting 11, having not started at the Bernabeu. But what a start from Real Madrid it was.
I think that surprised everybody, didn't it? That they didn't start particularly well last week, and then all of a sudden they've changed the way they're starting this game, and they came out and went for Manchester City. And they got their goal through Rodrigo. It was a really good counter-attack. In the first half, they could have had two or three, but there was that feeling that Manchester City were mounting pressure. And once they had... I mean, you looked at the changes Manchester City had, and they all strengthened the team to an extent that you thought, this is going to be really tough for Real Madrid, even harder tonight. And the second half, Real Madrid couldn't get out of their penalty area, never mind their half. Didn't have any chances, didn't have any breakaways like they did in the first half. The first half, they looked a threat, I thought, all the way through. Come second half, come until the last minutes of extra time, never really had any attempts at goal. And it was all about defensive structure, concentration, organisation, and they were magnificent.
Yeah, I think they kind of lost that outlet, didn't they, in the second half, Real Madrid, where they had bodies back and just... They were so, so deep. They were getting pushed deeper and deeper, and they couldn't get that outlet. And it just, as soon as it was cleared, the pressure was coming back. It was relentless. And we've just looked at the stats. They, across the game, they had 18 corners to defend now and didn't concede from one. So that just tells you, doesn't it? Either Man City set pieces need a lot of work, or they've defended solidly throughout the whole game and added time.
They targeted Lunin. I think they had shots from about the first nine corners where they were swinging them in under
like
the crossbar.
Direct shots from
corners. Kevin De Bruyne, and the goalkeeper made one truly fantastic save that looked like it had beaten him, but they were sort of like jostling him and putting pressure on him as the corners were taken, and he stood up to it ever so well. He's not the biggest goalkeeper in the world, is Andrei Lunin, and to be beaten only once by a fantastic finish by Kevin De Bruyne again is testament to the work of the defenders and to Real Madrid's goalkeeper.
So into the second half, you mentioned this unreal pressure from City, Jenna, and I think you even said it in commentary, the goal was coming. I mean, it would have been extraordinary if Madrid had kept them at bay, but they couldn't. Kevin De Bruyne with it.
Yeah, I mean, the pressure was mounting, and Man City had so, so much possession, but what Real Madrid did do was they set themselves up so well, so rigid, so organised, that it was just... It was impossible at stages for Man City to break them down. And then eventually they got their breakthrough. It was De Bruyne, obviously. It was a save initially that fell into the path of him. Still had a lot of work to do, as we said in commentary. The keeper had the near post covered. Rodrigo was on the floor, so he had to slam it into the roof of the net, and he did exactly that. And that's when you felt, here we go, Man City are going to pile on now.
You could see them scoring one or two more, but that De Bruyne miss feels key now, John, doesn't
it? Yeah, absolutely. As the ball was rolled across, having just scored as well, you thought, this, you know, he'll just put this in. And he's leant back to try and get a bit of air on it, to get it above the goalkeeper, and he's just got too much on it. And there were a couple of other moments where a ball went under his foot in the penalty area. It happened to Foden as well, who I thought was really quiet tonight. Phil Foden didn't have any impact on the game at all. So you take away the impact that you normally see from Manchester City of Erling Haaland and Phil Foden, you've got to try and find it somewhere else. De Bruyne was constantly on the ball, Rodri constantly on. They had 35 attempts on goal in across the course of the game.
35.
And what you'd say there is, I think there were like 15 blocks from Real Madrid players. But how many of them were those take your breath away chances where you're like, oh, like the De Bruyne one that he puts over the bar is, and the goal is, and maybe one of the others?
I think the Lunin save on De Bruyne's long range shot.
Yes.
Where he got that fingertip to it. Yeah. Other than that, I think it's a good point, John. How many times was he properly stretched in that second half in extra time?
And they withdrew Grealish, and bringing Doku on helped them. It got more direct, more pace, more urgency to the flow. And I think that because of the way that and Carlo Ancelotti's a master of this. I mean, if you remember when he was at Napoli, when Liverpool were in the early stages of the Klopp era, Liverpool couldn't beat them. They couldn't break them down. And he's done it again. He's set his side up around his penalty area. The scrambling, the cover, moving around to help your mate out, and that's what they've done for the team. And while we're so used to seeing Vinicius, Rodrigo, Valverde, Bellingham scoring goals and playing this wonderful brand of attacking football, tonight it was all about getting dirty and working hard and earning the right to go through to a semi-final.
It does feel like, I mean, there was the Rudiger miss as well, and we'll get onto the shootout next. But there's been a lot of talk, you know, about this good dressing room at Real Madrid right now, that they're a team of workers that will fight for each other. And given this is a team that lost 4-0 here last season, it does seem to be a notable difference in Real Madrid.
Yeah, I think what a turnaround in a season. I think you said it there, they're fighters. And I think when you trust in your teammates and you see your teammate fighting on the pitch, it spurs you on to fight. And I think you get that when you've got a good dressing room. I think if you're in a dressing room where you're not actually consider each other as part of your family and you're not going to run through a brick wall for them, then you can't really, how can you win anything or compete? But there today, people rolling up their sleeves and taking responsibility and, you know, putting the blocks in, covering every blade of grass, even in the added time. It was a real team performance, and I think every single player had to show probably a level 9-10 performance, and they did it out there, and they've got themselves through to the semi-finals.
Pens, so Alvarez scores, Modric misses, and you fear for Madrid at that point.
Yeah.
And then the Bernardo Silva miss.
Well, there's a big delay before the Bernardo Silva penalty. The ball ended up in the crowd. It took a long time to come down, and whether that clouded his thinking or whether somebody, one of the analysts, has said the goalkeeper dives early, let him dive and go down the middle. And it's not a Panenka, because that's the dink. It's just a clip down the middle, and Lunin just stood up and just caught it right in front of his face, and I don't think he could believe it. I don't think the crowd could believe it. It was like, wow, has that really just happened? And that gave the momentum.
Do you think? Do you get that? I was going to ask that, Jenna. Momentum in penalty shootouts, does that exist, do you think?
100%. I think it chops and changes with every shot. I think, your keeper makes a save like that, it spurs you on to take the next one, and then the momentum's back with you. Yeah. So, 100%, I think that plays a part.
It's part of a crazy shootout, though. Imagine having the nerve, like Lucas Vazquez did, to walk forward to take a penalty, to start doing keepy-uppies in the penalty area.
Well, it says something, doesn't it? And then his
run-up. Yeah, and his run-up. I mean, he took a step back, dead straight, didn't he? Then moved sideways, stuttered all the way up to take his kick, and then just rolled it.
I thought he was destined to
and
miss
you were like,
with that.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, you've got some nerve.
Well, we had the Edison one as well, and then Rudiger, of course, stepped up with the winning kick, as we mentioned. Extraordinary night in the Champions League, and Real Madrid march on. By the way, Rodrigo, 4 goals against against Manchester City now. More goals than he scored against any other club in all competitions. They've only met in the Champions League. Extraordinary. Okay, more on this to come, and we have to look at tonight's other quarterfinal in Munich.
Take take UEFA Champions League Match Day Live with you, wherever you go. With audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more, get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
There was nothing to separate Bayern and Arsenal after the first leg, which meant it was winner takes all in Bavaria. We'll speak to commentator Stephen Wyeth next. He was calling the drama.
Leading the charge up against Saliba. Mazraoui on the overlap across the face of goal and a deflection that takes it just beyond the far post. Finding Ødegaard just inside the penalty area, across the face of goal, and what an opportunity that was for Martinelli, who can only side foot the ball straight at Manuel Neuer. Kimmich in support, clipping it into the penalty area, Goretzka off the post, and Guerrero thumps the rebound against an Arsenal player. Bayern so very close to getting themselves in front. Guerrero delivers again towards the back post, wonderful header. Outstanding goal, Bayern in front, Joshua Kimmich with it. And might that prove to be the decisive moment in the tie? It is going to be never from the point of view of the Premier League side, because Bayern have done it. They have won by a goal to nil in Munich to win 3-2 on aggregate and book their place in the semi-final.
Stephen Wyeth joins us now, and I think you could tell from the celebration, Stephen, just how big a win that was given the season the Bayern have had.
Yeah, and a release of jubilation after a night of tension and drama and intrigue. Rob, I think we saw the value of one goal showing to be just as precious as the flurry we had on Tuesday night. And it was a survivor of Bayern's last UEFA Champions League triumph that got it. Joshua Kimmich's first goal of 2024. Talk about timing a decisive moment perfectly. It came just after the hour, arriving in the penalty area to head in that Rafael Guerrero cross. And the timing of that moment, just as astute really, as the way that Bayern played collectively, the way they paced their moment to pounce tonight. They were defensively outstanding, so much resolve, allowing Arsenal to dominate the ball, to dominate territory, but to ultimately starve them of realistic goal-scoring opportunities. And that was a sort of display, really, of the confidence they had in their own ability, their own sense of occasion, that they would take the chance when it came. And yep, Leo Goretzka headed his chance against the corner of post and bar, but that was just minutes before Kimmich delivered the more accurate header and the one that decided the tie. Arsenal's pressure after the goal, it was fleeting, to be honest with you, and Bayern played like a side that were fairly convinced they'd already done enough to win the tie. A record 22nd Champions League quarter-final, bringing about a ninth semi-final for Bayern. Arsenal will hope that this is a work in progress as far as they are concerned, and not the week in which their season unraveled. Top spot in the Premier League relinquished, and now their spirited run in the Champions League over as well. Bayern, though, deserving winners on a night when we saw how experience and anticipation and a sense of occasion and a sense of history can prove to be all that bit more important than perhaps it is in other competitions and at other times.
Well, let's hear from one of their key defenders on the night, Matthias de Ligt.
Obviously, last season, quarter final, we went out against City, and now against another tough English team. But yeah, the way we fought today, how we defended, I think was really, really, really good level. Really, really good performance from us, and yeah, I think deserved win. In this level, it's all about details. It's all about not making mistakes and still play as good as possible. I think yeah, they had the chance of Martinelli first half. I think we had also some chance first half. And second half, I think we did a really good game. We defended really well. We created some chances. And yeah, we scored an amazing goal.
And he was part of a back line as well that featured Eric Dier, signed in the January window, Stephen, and Joshua Kimmich now playing at right back. I mean, there's been a lot of change in that Bayern defence.
Yeah, the less heralded of the former Tottenham players facing Arsenal this evening. Harry Kane didn't really need to do a great deal offensively. He didn't have a chance of note, but Eric Dier alongside Matthias de Ligt, absolutely outstanding and definitely worthy of a mention. Konrad Leimer, whose duty this evening was to track Martin Ødegaard, to prevent him getting on the ball, to prevent him providing creativity, but whilst also being charged with launching what attacking opportunities Bayern had, those moments where they could break out from inside their own half and try and put Arsenal under pressure. And he was absolutely relentless in both of the duties that were handed to him tonight. Was one of Bayern's outstanding contributors, a very much an unsung hero.
Didn't score in the second leg, did score in the first one. Let's hear from Bayern's star striker, Harry Kane.
It's been a tough season for us. We've had to fight and really grind at times, and today was that. You know, we knew it was going to be a tough game. We knew at home we could make the difference with our fans there, and it was what we expected. A tough game, a tight game. Great goal from Josh to make the difference for us, and then it was about defending and keeping that clean sheet. So to reach the semi-final is a great achievement for us, and we can enjoy this one. I think always in these type of games, you know, maybe the first half is a little bit cagey. Both teams don't really want to concede early, so we said at halftime just to up the tempo, up the pressing, be better with the ball, and that's what we've done. We created a lot more chances. We had a couple off the post, even towards the end there. We probably could have finished it off and made it a bit easier on ourselves, but overall, you know, these games are tough, and you just have to find a way to get through them.
So Harry Kane's dreams of a first major trophy remain alive. From an Arsenal point of view, Mikel Arteta was understandably subdued after seeing his side get knocked out.
At the moment, it's a really gutted dressing room, very disappointed. I cannot find the right words to leave them. I wish I had. We have to go through it. We tried against a team that has a lot of experience, and through the tie, I think the margins have been very small. The moments that we've been better, we give them two goals in a tie. That's a big advantage to give away. And today you could see that it was a margin of error, zero. We made a mistake defending the box, big one, and we conceded the goal. And then it was difficult. We tried in many different ways, but it's difficult. And it's the moment to stay next to the players, give them support and stick to them, because they are the ones that have taken us in this journey. The club has been without playing Champions League for 7 years, and you wanted to play in the first year and you want to be in the semi-finals or the final. Now, we all wanted that so badly, but you can see in many other clubs that it takes them sometimes 6-7 years to get to that stage, but we were very close. That's the reality.
And I suppose City are kind of the example of that Mikel Arteta's pointed to. How do you think they'll reflect, Stephen, on a first Champions League campaign since, as Mikel Arteta mentioned, they're 16-17?
Yeah, well, they should reflect upon it with a huge amount of positivity, Rob. After that long hiatus from being involved in European club football's elite competition, you've got to feel your way back in, yet they did so by winning their group, only losing one of the six games during the group stage, to go through top, to get past a resolute Porto side on penalties, having overturned a first leg deficit in the round of 16. That showed spirit and showed determination. And they went toe-to-toe with one of the very best sides in Europe at the quarter-final stage. That's perhaps as much as they could have expected on their return to the UEFA Champions League this season. Yes, of course, you always have ambitions to go that at least one hurdle further. But Arsenal should be very proud of the contribution they've made to the UEFA Champions League this season. And I think they will reflect upon a quarter-final place, a place amongst the top eight sides in the continent, as being a pretty good return.
Thomas Tuchel, meanwhile, has now guided three clubs to a Champions League semi-final. Paris Saint-Germain, they got to the final. Chelsea, they won it. And now Bayern, we know that he's leaving at the end of the season. What a climax it would be to his tenure to win at Wembley. We now know our final four, and what a lineup it is.
Zaire Emery over the top. Hernandez is in, and Lucas Hernandez has headed the ball beyond Nick Pope.
And Mbappe scores! It's 1-1 in the French capital.
And Mbappe so cool in these situations.
It's a lovely ball. Vitinha, they've scored again! Two goals in a minute! Paris Saint-Germain have turned it right around!
Oh, lovely opportunity for the cross. It's pulled back to the edge of the penalty area, and the shot is driven in by Felix Nemecha.
Fulkrug 1-0. Dortmund take the lead. Chance here for the shot from the edge. It's there. Jadon Sancho has scored for Dortmund.
Looking for Sebastian Haller. He scored. It's an instinctive turn and strike from Sebastian Haller. Ball to Musiala, and Harry Kane is there. The first attempt is charged down by Boe, but not the second.
Muller touches it through. Coman is in here, and Bayern take the lead. Well, here's a chance for Leon Goretzka, through towards Gnabry! He's scored!
Leroy Sané goes for goal, the rebound comes to Kane, who scores for Bayern! Pinball in the penalty area, could go anywhere, and it's in from Bellingham, who got the final touch!
Bellingham waits for the options, finds Vinicius Jr., wonderful goal! Oh, that is Real Madrid quality all over!
Here's Bellingham on towards Vinicius Jr., goal! Strap yourselves in, because this is drama.
It certainly is. We have our semi-final lineup. Real Madrid will play Bayern, and Borussia Dortmund will take on Paris Saint-Germain. Jenna Scalacci, John Bradley, and Stephen Wyeth with me to preview those semi-finals. First of all, let's make the case, John Bradley, that Real Madrid are going to go all the way and win that 15th title.
It's in their DNA. They know how to
end
win
of
it.
Answer
yeah, basically. But you don't win it as many times as they do. The mentality that the players might change, but the culture and the mentality remains the same, and there's no one better to keep that culture and that mentality the same way it is as Carlo Ancelotti. If we could have a man of the match for the Manchester City game, it's Carlo Ancelotti, for the way that he set his side up and got that resilience into them. What they've shown now is, as well as doing it the nice way and playing nice football, they can do it horrible as well, and they can do it ugly, and they can defend. And I think that will just give them the edge in the semi-final, and they're going to be very, very hard to stop again.
Are they favourites, John, do you think, for the
Bayern
tie?
I think, given Bayern's season and what's happened to them this season, Real Madrid will look to exploit that, but Bayern can use it, you know, as a rescue for their season. But I don't think that you can come through this level of challenge that they've come through here, Real Madrid, and not be favourites to win the competition this year.
Stephen, why can Bayern go all the way in this competition?
I don't really think I can make that strong a case for them, to be honest with you, Rob. They're certainly going to have to play it off. Well, to be honest, John's made such a convincing case for Real Madrid that it's difficult
yours
to
collapsed?
Counter. It's difficult
yeah.
to counter. No, I don't think Bayern came through. You know, they weren't really tested in the group stages as much as they might have anticipated, considering that group stage included Manchester United. They got past Lazio after the concern of losing the first leg 1-0 away from home with the minimum of fuss. And whilst it has gone the distance tonight with Arsenal, I really feel as though they were in control of the match this evening, and they're only look like being one winner. But they'll have to play a lot differently to the way that they went about their business this evening, the way they tried to soak up pressure and infuriate Arsenal and pinch their moments on the counter-attack. Real Madrid aren't going to fall into those traps. So it's all about whether Bayern can go away with no longer a Bundesliga title to play for and prepare themselves for a very different kind of occasion, a semi-final against Real Madrid. And they might just need a moment of Harry Kane magic, some inspiration from him, or returning players, whether they can get Koeman and Gnabry back and firing in time for that semi-final, and maybe just weight of personnel might assist them. But it does feel as though Real Madrid are the overwhelming favourites for that semi.
Jenna, looking at that lineup, Real Madrid, Bayern, Dortmund, Paris Saint-Germain, who are you thinking are going to be playing in the final at Wembley?
John sold it to me there.
To be fair, I think Stephen sold it as well, that it's going to be Real Madrid.
Real Madrid, I don't think they're going to come up against a bigger test than they have tonight. And so they've got the confidence of that. Winning ugly, digging deep, working as a whole team performance. So for me, I think it's going to be in the final, see Paris against Real Madrid.
I think we're going to have a repeat of that 2013 Wembley final. Bayern
really?
Dortmund.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah.
I did that game. I remember that.
I think it might be Iron Robin, exactly. Mm. I can see it happening again. I can see the yellow and black, the red and white flooding upon England's capital once again. Our last word goes to one of tonight's victorious managers, Real Madrid's Carlo Ancelotti. So how's he feeling after being involved in another Champions League classic?
Happy. Difficult game. We knew that we were going to suffer. We suffered. It was, of course, a really difficult game. But to win here, you have to behave like this. We had a great attitude. We defended well. Of course, they had more control of the game. We started well the game. But after that, they start to play and we had more difficulties. But we were able to keep going, to stay really concentrated at the back. And I am so proud because we are not used to defend like this, but we were really focused and good position, defended well, really concentrated. And in this aspect, we were really good. Of course, we could play. We could have more control of the game, but against City, it's not difficult. They are the European Championship still.
The semi-final schedule will be confirmed on Thursday, so make sure to check UEFA.com or the Champions League app. A big thanks to Jenna, John and Stephen for their company too. That's just about all we have time for this evening as we wrap up what has been a quarter-final stage for the ages. Real Madrid, Bayern, Paris Saint-Germain and Borussia Dortmund are the final four, and they are two matches away from a final at Wembley. Make sure to join Matchday Live, 8 p.m. CEST, on Tuesday the 30th of April for the first night of the semi-finals, and you'll be able to download this very podcast after every single night of the rest of the UEFA Champions League. But until next time, from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of our team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.